تلي عا دي بتدا المعمي.
Good afternoon. This is Amira Adawi with Beauty and Wellness Talk. This is a show that we discuss every Saturday, and it's about the reason we created this show is to discuss about the issue of skin lighting and to empower women to and talk about the issue of several issues of public health, mainly addressing the issue of skin lighting and how it's impacting a lot of young girls and women. So each week we discuss about different topics. And today's show we will discuss about child marriage and how that's impacting young girls and women here in Minnesota, around the nation and worldwide. And today we have a couple of important guests. Ellen Kennedy, who is the executive director of World Without Genocide, and Senator Sandy Pappas, who is from District 65 in St. Paul. So both Ellen and Senator Pappas will discuss about this issue. So mainly we will talk about what child marriage is in general terms, so people understand. And then we will get into more detail about how it's impacting young girls, their education, attainment, and overall well-being. So welcome Ellen Kennedy to the show and Senator Pappas. Will you brief talk about do introduction of who you are, your background? I'm sure all the listeners know who you are, but it will be nice to repeat who you are again.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here. I'm Ellen Kennedy. I'm a mother and a grandmother. And especially important is that I'm a grandmother of a little girl. And because of that, I care very much about the futures for women and girls here in our country and all around the world. I created World Without Genocide 13 years ago. And from the very beginning, one of our major issues has been issues affecting the well-being of women and girls in Minnesota, in the United States, and around the world. We do a lot of education about these issues. And with our wonderful supporter and friend, Senator Pappas, we work on legislative issues as well. So I'm speaking today as the mother of a daughter and the grandmother of a little girl about this important issue of child marriage. And now I'll turn it to my friend, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Ellen. Welcome, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Amira. Thank you for inviting us both to have this discussion today. It's very important. I'm afraid I have Ellen beat in that I have 13 granddaughters, three daughters and 13
That's amazing.
Right, and 12 grandsons, so 25 grandchildren. But I've been a legislator in the House and the Senate for over three decades. Mm-hmm. I also work for a national women's organization that trains women legislators mm-hmm. to also care about issues that affect women and girls, everything from how the federal budget can impact us to how nuclear war and mm-hmm. nuclear weapons can impact us. Mm-hmm. And then about 7 years ago, I founded my own nonprofit, like Ellen did, called Forward Global Women. And mm-hmm. so we work with women in what's called the MENA region, Middle East, North Africa, mm-hmm. Women who are leaders in civil society, in academia, and in government, mm-hmm. and help them hone their skills so that they can better represent their communities and mm-hmm. and work for a more peaceful future. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to be working on this project because people say to me, child marriage, that's still going on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. A couple of people already said that to me because I tried to post this issue and discuss on social media, and people said, like, is that still going on? It seems that people don't even understand what child marriage is, and people think actually there's already laws that are in place mm-hmm. here in Minnesota and nationwide, and that's not the case. Almost 41 states, I think more than 40 states, don't even have legislation around that. Is that right?
Actually, let me sort of set the stage.
Yeah.
In August of 2017, so a year and a half ago, I read an article about child marriage. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be about children getting married in Cambodia or in India or in Bangladesh. But it was about children getting married in the United States. Between the year 2000 and the year 2010, almost 250,000 children in our own country got married. Children is defined as people who are under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And what Amira is saying is so true, that there are so many exceptions across our country that say if a judge or a parent or a guardian will sign a waiver, children can indeed get married. There are only two states in the entire country, Delaware and New Jersey, that have outlawed children from getting married. Children as young as 10 years old have gotten married. Three children in the state of Tennessee who were 10 years old all got married. They all were girls, and they all married men who were in their 20s. Mm-hmm.
So you might ask, is this a situation in Minnesota?
Yeah.
As well, you brought that up earlier, Amira.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, we don't keep those statistics in Minnesota. So mm-hmm. we have to extrapolate from Wisconsin and Iowa, our neighboring states. Mm-hmm. So in Wisconsin, over a 10-year period, there are approximately 2,500 children that were married. And in Iowa, there are approximately 1,000. Mm-hmm. So our population is kind of between those two states. So we could say that every year between 100 and 250 young girls under the age of 18 are married, or and boys, it could be boys too, are married in the state of Minnesota. And this is just not acceptable mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons that we can talk about. But if they get permission from their parents or from a judge, yeah. they can marry.
So these numbers are anecdotal, right? They're not like something that is collected to
no.
Okay.
Actually, the numbers in all but 12 states yeah. are collected.
Collected. Okay.
They are documented.
They're documented. Okay.
So, for example, Texas in that 10-year period had almost 35,000 child marriages.
Wow.
What we don't know, as Senator Pappas said, mm-hmm. is the exact number in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But if we look at Iowa, at Wisconsin, and at North and South Dakota, that total is almost 5,000 in that 10-year period. Mm-hmm. Those are our neighbors. We can assume that there are likely at least a couple of hundred every year in our own state.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And do you know, if you look at the demographic, do you know where are these
good
groups
question.
Coming from, or even like, is it happening outside the U.S. and that they bring these young girls here? Like, what are yeah. the patterns of this?
According to the information that we see, mm-hmm. these are the records from marriages documented as happening in the United States. So these are not marriages happening in Somalia or Bangladesh of young girls or even young boys who are brought here. These are marriages of children who are here, who are as young as 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. And it really crosses all ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm. And religious groups.
And religious groups.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So it's Jewish and Christian and Muslim and mm-hmm. Buddhist, all groups.
All groups, okay. Mm-hmm. So which groups have the highest number, do you know? Or they don't stratify into groups?
Right, we okay. don't know because yeah. we don't collect that data.
Okay.
So when Dr. Kennedy and I first looked at this, mm-hmm. The first thought was, well, we should start collecting the data.
Yeah.
And then after a while, as other states were moving to just say, you know, just outlaw it. Mm-hmm. We thought, well, we don't really care if it's 1 or 5 or 10 or 100. It just mm-hmm. shouldn't be happening.
Yeah,
it's not yeah. good for children to get married that mm-hmm. young. Mm-hmm. I mean, the divorce rate is twice what the normal divorce rate is. girls that get pregnant that young can have very difficult pregnancies. The domestic abuse rates are higher than if you're over 18. And there's just not a maturity level there if you're under 18 to really handle the... I mean, girls under 18, they can't rent apartments. I mean, they're not of legal age.
Yeah.
If they get married when they're under 18, they can't get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
go ahead,
one
Ellen.
Of the most shocking things is that there's a very high rate of abuse, of physical abuse, by that partner, by that husband, or occasionally by that wife in that marriage. So when we think about domestic abuse, we think about the opportunity that some women have to go to a shelter for battered women. But if that girl is under the age of 18, she cannot do that. She is a child. She cannot check herself into a battered abuse shelter. She has no ability to escape from that abusive situation. As Senator Pappas said, she can't rent an apartment. She can't get a car. She can't open a bank account. She can't do anything to protect or save herself.
We have to let children be children.
Yeah, totally. No. That shouldn't be happening. Yeah. And in do you know in our state if there's any program that is working towards addressing, raising educational awareness or even addressing the issue? You know, we have Safe Harbor, which is addressing sex trafficking in our state. Do we have similar program that's focused on this issue?
You have Ellen and I.
Yes,
basically,
I know.
We're the program. We're the ones trying to raise awareness, and we'll be bringing legislation forward in January.
Yeah, could you talk about more about the upcoming legislative proposal?
Well, that in order to change the law so there's no exceptions, we have to change the law so there's no exceptions. So in order to do that, we have to introduce a bill. So I'll be introducing a bill in January. We're still looking for a House author. I think last year wasn't Ilhan Omar was our author, and now she's moved on to Congress. So... and I think in the process, we're going to be educating the committee. When I brought it up in my committee, Judiciary Committee, with the Republican legislators last year, they went, oh, yeah, yeah, we shouldn't let them marry under the age of 18, although there should be exceptions. And I said, well, that's the current situation, and that's what we don't want.
So what is the exceptions that they're talking about?
Well, the exceptions are if you have parental permission or if you go to a judge. And... you know, there might be a variety of reasons why parents would give permission.
I'll give you an example of a case in Florida. A young girl, in fact, she was 11 years old at the time, was being married off by her parents because she and the family were being investigated by Child Protective Services. Their church and the family had triggered awareness by Child Protective Services that this little girl was involved in a situation that legally would be considered statutory rape. Well, the parents and the church did not want that investigation to happen. They felt that it would be shameful, that it would ruin the reputation of the family and the church. So the family took the girl and the older man to a judge to get them married. Well, the judge that they went to refused to marry them. So all they did was get in the car and drive to a different county in Florida where they found a judge who signed off on marrying them. And this is the kind of exception that we don't want to allow to happen. Because what the result was for that little girl was that she gave birth at age 11, she had multiple children. She was severely abused by that man until finally she was old enough to be able to divorce him. She now is an outspoken advocate for making the age of marriage 18 with no exceptions.
And in Minnesota, if the parents agree, you don't even have to judge shop.
Right.
The parents can just sign for them to get married.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Now, this puts an unfair burden on the judges as well. When a parent is not does not have the state authority or the state law to sign off, and a judge must, the judge is in a very difficult situation. This should not be a decision that's up to a judge. So many things in our country have changed a great deal over the past few generations. And one of them is that children, in many ways, are children for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. Instead of graduating from high school and marrying and going right to the workforce, more and more young people postpone marriage mm-hmm. and go to college. And when a girl is married, particularly before the age of 18, mm-hmm. there's almost no opportunity for her to finish high school, let alone go to college and develop any kind of financial security. So we have this very different sense of trying to protect mm-hmm. what childhood should be
about.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what I was just going to ask you, because if you look at, like you said, Ellen, now the education attainment, it impacts mm-hmm. their education attainment mm-hmm. similarly to their health outcome, because if that child marriage increases the chances of teen pregnancy,
right.
And that also raises the chance of mortality, you know, like
absolutely
because of all of these complications and all of that, and it affects the overall
health. Children having babies can have more impacted pregnancies. They're not fully developed,
exactly.
Especially if the father is large.
Yeah,
it can be they need C-sections, or there'll be more complications. The statistics we do have are pretty dire. We know that 31% of child marriages are more likely to live in poverty, mm-hmm. 50% more likely to drop out of high school, 4 times less likely to graduate from college. And we talked about health impacts.
Mm-hmm.
They're 23% more likely to have a heart attack, diabetes, cancer, or a stroke, and more likely to have psychiatric disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I mentioned earlier, they're 50% more likely to be divorced, and that's a double our current rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not really good for their health.
And that also, like if they don't have good health and education attainment is low, and that also increases poverty rates, right?
For their children as well. So what we see is that the parents wind up living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
They have less access to adequate health care for themselves or for their children. And then the children are going to be permanently disadvantaged mm-hmm. in every imaginable way.
Yeah. I mean, like their whole early childhood growth mm-hmm. to the whole lifespan.
Even before that, with poor prenatal care.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
the children are likely to be born, as Senator Pappas was saying, with lower birth weight, mm-hmm. with possible birth defects because of being born to a girl who is not fully mature.
Mm-hmm. So what's really surprising about the rate of child marriage in the U.S. is that internationally, mm-hmm. Under guidelines by the U.N., countries have been moving more and more toward 18 as a minimum age.
Yes.
18 with no exceptions.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege about 9 years ago to be on a health trip to Ethiopia.
Oh,
and
great.
One of their issues, their health issues, was to eliminate child marriage, and mm-hmm. 18 was the minimum age. Now, if it was usually a girl, was coerced by her parents or the man's parents into marrying below the age of 18, mm-hmm. the local community of women would take that case to court and have the marriage nullified
mm-hmm.
so that she could go back to being a child.
Yeah.
So women all over the world, they understand this issue. It's not good for their children to be married before 18.
Mm-hmm. We know that there are a lot of reasons why some parents may wish their children to be married young. Mm-hmm. We know, for example, that in large households, it's felt that the household will have more money if they can marry off the daughter. Mm-hmm. There will be more money for all of the other children. But the long-term consequences are so sad mm-hmm. for that girl that we really need to educate parents in all the communities that this should not ever be a consideration.
Yeah.
There are some parents who feel, too, that if they can marry their daughters off, then the daughter will be less likely to engage in any sexual activities mm-hmm. before she is appropriately married. But that's not the reason to endanger the rest of that girl's life through all of these terrible outcomes.
You're listening today a Beauty and Wellness Talk. Our show today is about child marriage, and our guest is Senator Sandy Pappas and Ellen Kennedy, who is the Executive Director of World Without Genocide. This is a really issue that's impacting our state and other states, and both of them want to raise an awareness mainly how it's impacting young girls' education and overall health well-being. If you want to call in and raise your questions or have participate the discussion today, our phone is 612-353-5596. Again, it's 612-353-5596. So the question that I have now is, obviously both of you have been working on this for quite some time, and you have been trying to raise awareness both through legislation and also through education. And this is also cultural practice for some groups. Have you done educational forums or met with community leaders or religious groups to discuss about this issue?
We're beginning our outreach, and today's program is part of that broad program. We are most eager to connect with people really all across the spectrum, different immigrant and refugee groups, different religious groups, and so on, so that it's clear that we really need to protect our girls, all of our girls, girls who are born here as well as girls who might have been born elsewhere, so that we can ensure that their futures are healthy ones and safe.
Okay. So this call. Hello?
Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome. Yeah, alaikum salam.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, Amina. good. Dabayo. Welcome to the show.
You're welcome. I want to say thanks to both the senator and the other...
Ellen Kennedy? Who, yeah, Dr. Yeah, who, Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't get the name, sorry. My name is Deqa, and I am a Somali woman who also Somali advocate of domestic violence and sexual violence.
Welcome, Deqa.
Yep, you're welcome. And I've been an advocate many years, almost 15 years. And I was listening the radio. I always listen Amira show.
Thank you.
Amira program.
Thank you.
So I just want to say thank you, both of them, their leadership, to be honest, especially the women genocide. I always watch what's going on outside and also the inside the country. And someone who always care about what's going on about the women and kids, I always thanks for them. So I don't have a question. I see domestic violence, I see sexual violence, I see child underage marriage always. So
could you say more about what you see in child marriage in the cases that you serve without disclosing their identities?
We would love it if someone would come forward.
To be honest, what I do is I advocate for domestic violence and sexual violence always.
Okay.
I see in child marriage those young girls who come from out of the country, any country, like Africa, India, Ethiopia.
Okay.
I see those girls when they came here, when they get married, when they was age of 12 or 13 or 14.
Okay.
I seen those cases, but most of them, they ended up get divorced when they came inside the United States of America.
Wow.
So that shows how, they can get powerful when they came here.
If you do run into someone who might be willing to come and testify at the Capitol, that would be really powerful.
Yeah, and share their story.
I went to the Capitol a couple of times with one of the organizations that I used to work. I used to work East Voice of East African organization. So, to be honest with you guys, we need people to stood up and to, you know, testify a lot of issue happening, even a lot of issue happening back home. It happened here, but nobody tell. You know, it's like nobody
advocates for it.
Nobody advocates for them. Nobody bring those issue to the public.
We are here to try to advocate.
Yeah, we're lucky to have Ellen and Senator Pavas.
Yeah, and so my advice to you guys today is we need a lot of women who stood up, empower the women and the children. The abuse, some of the women, the abuse they did have many years, they still have here. But nobody... There is a lot of advocates, but it's not enough. We don't have enough advocates to advocate for them.
Thank you, Deka, for taking part of the show today.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. So, Alan, you were talking about the awareness that you are raising for groups.
Yes.
And how is that going so far? Or it's the beginning stage?
Yes. On Thursday, November 29th, we will be holding a program at Congregation Shir Tikva in Minneapolis. It is open to the public. And we will have Professor Elizabeth Boyle from the University of Minnesota speaking about child marriage all around the world, and a lawyer, Elizabeth Meske, speaking specifically about the issues that Senator Pappas and I have raised. People can find information on the World Without Genocide website, www.worldwithoutgenocide.org. The public is invited. We will have another event at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law on December 14th. At noon, free and open to the public. That one also will be on our website. And then on January 29th, Senator Pappas and I will gather a group of community leaders from many different organizations, faith groups, refugee groups, and so on, to a meeting at the Capitol to talk about our bill and how they can work to help support it in their communities.
And when is that? What date?
On
is
January 29th.
January 29th. Okay.
At 3:30 in the afternoon.
And what is the process now for the proposal? Is it in the writing stage? Of course, the session hasn't started.
Simple bill because it just deletes a sentence in law that allows an exception to the marriage age.
Okay.
So it's not difficult. We introduced it last year. So we have to reintroduce it again this year. And then I think given the election, we'll find a pretty sympathetic audience in the House. That will hear the bill. It's still going to be an uphill climb in the Senate.
And what is the discussion? Are people saying that they don't want to create that kind of law that restricts a lot of things?
I've only had a couple conversations with people about it. And because the chair wasn't willing to hear it last year. And I think it's a case of if, for example, if a girl gets pregnant, her parents might prefer to have her married. The only problem is those don't often last, those marriages. And if it's going to last and if it's true love, then she could still wait till she's 18 to get married. I have an example of my own family. My nephew in Iowa and his girlfriend got pregnant while they were in high school. and she decided to have the baby, and they are no longer together, mm-hmm. even. They did not get married. They're not together. He's paying child support. He's, mm-hmm. you know, he's taking care of the child as well. Mm-hmm. But they were too young, and it was unfortunate that the pregnancy happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be that, could mm-hmm. be the case. As Ellen mentioned, it could be that a family, just a large family, mm-hmm. wants to make sure their daughter's secure, mm-hmm. And it could come from a culture where that's important. And
yeah.
we have to educate in those communities that 18 is the age, and that's the way it probably was in your home mm-hmm. country too,
mm-hmm.
Even if it wasn't always followed.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Amira, what you said at the very beginning is the biggest challenge that Senator Pappas and I face, and that is we mention child marriage to people, mm-hmm. and they assume we're talking about it in another part of the world.
Yeah,
there is almost no awareness of the fact that in that 10-year period, 250,000 children in the United States mm-hmm. got married.
Yeah.
Of record, got married.
Mm-hmm. I'll also tell you that people then have stories, too, about mm-hmm. my parents or my grandparents got mm-hmm. married. She was 17, he was 19 or whatever, and they mm-hmm. stayed together for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the statistics in today's age just don't match that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was more common maybe, like I said, 50 or 60 years ago, farm families, mm-hmm. girls didn't go to college, boys didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was what they did. And maybe she was almost 18.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's very unusual that you'll see mm-hmm. a young marriage like that that will last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to Senator, what you said earlier about, even if they become pregnant, them forcing them to marry, I think that comes from the shaming,
yes.
the cultural shaming, because these families, they don't want child out of wedlock, mm-hmm. and so marriage is through the way to solve that, and so that whole stigma and shaming, I think, is also maybe why
even if the girl got pregnant from rape,
yeah,
some other kind of abuse,
right? Yeah,
and that's really the key, that almost all of these relationships are of girls
mm-hmm.
involved with older men.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationship, if it's not under that protective label of marriage, mm-hmm. is a crime.
Right.
And that is the crime of statutory rape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We cannot allow statutory rape to continue to occur at these levels.
Mm-hmm.
And have it condoned by marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. Have it condoned by marriage, signed off by judges.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot allow mm-hmm. this to continue.
So I was reading an article where Florida governor did executive order. So is that something that happens in the executive level, or it has to go through legislature?
I think it's unlikely.
Unlikely, okay.
I think if there's a legislative path,
yeah.
I think it's unlikely the governor would do that.
Okay. Because I don't know how... Yeah, so I was reading
Florida.
An article about that a while back, mm-hmm. Florida.
Well, at this point, there are yeah. only two states
okay.
that have absolutely excluded exceptions below the age of
and
18.
And that's Delaware and New Jersey.
That's correct.
Okay. Amira, I could see it happening if the legislature tried and failed, and
yeah.
if it was really an
yeah.
egregious situation, like they allowed marriage at 10 or 12 mm-hmm. or some very young age.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's not quite that bad. It's illegal mm-hmm. straight off if you're under 16.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are 16 or 17, like I said, the exception is allowed
mm-hmm.
With parental permission or a judge.
Yeah.
There are 27 states in the United States that have no minimum age.
Hmm.
That's how 10-year-olds in Tennessee got married. There were 12-year-olds who got married in Alaska, Louisiana, and South Carolina in that 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
12-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Because 27 states have no minimum age.
Mm-hmm. And to your knowledge, do you think that the religious leaders will support you and campaign with you to address this issue?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think that will help a lot mm-hmm. because these leaders listened by their community members, yes, and highly regarded, and especially the messages that they share. Yeah. Yeah.
What we've heard from legislators in New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts, those last two states where bills are pending, mm-hmm, is that the religious leaders completely support this, mm-hmm, that there is no religious doctrine, yeah, encouraging child marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really great point. And I raised that question because a lot of groups, when it comes to behavioral change and hearing messages, they like to hear from their religious, yes, leaders sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I have experienced that issue through the skin lighting, addressing through the skin lighting issue and other things, other public health issues. So now through the process of the legislative process, what would you like to share the listeners, and what do you want them to help you with? Senator Pappas, you mentioned about them coming and sharing their stories. What other things that they can help you,
right,
with?
If there's anyone who was a child bride, mm-hmm, who would like to come and share their story, mm-hmm, they could certainly contact me through my office or by emailing. I have a very simple email address, sen.sandy.pappas, yeah, at senate.mn. Mm-hmm. And you call any number at the legislature and they would connect you. We would love to hear from you. Also to talk to your own elected officials and tell them that you support this issue of not, mm-hmm, allowing. Because I think some legislators may think, oh, well, you know, I'm going to run afoul of cultural practices or something, or I'm going to be impeding on cultural practices. And we just have to understand that in a lot of countries where, mm-hmm, immigrant communities are coming from, 18 is the age.
Yeah.
It may not always be followed.
Mm-hmm.
And that any public health practitioner would tell you that, mm-hmm, children getting pregnant under the age of 18 is not a good idea.
It's not healthy.
It's not,
yeah,
healthy, yeah, right? You know, mentally or physically. Mm-hmm. Not good for the children. You're still a child yourself. You're not really in a place to be a good mother, mm-hmm, or a good father.
Mm-hmm. So far, have you met anybody that experienced this and how that impacted their self-esteem? And
we have read many testimonies from, okay, people.
Okay.
We have not had the opportunity yet to hear personal stories from people here in our own community.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be most helpful to us, mm-hmm, if people are willing to share.
Especially since we don't have statistics in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So legislators could say, well, I don't even know if it's a problem, mm-hmm, or if it's happening. And my response will be, well, let's make sure it doesn't become a problem.
Yeah.
You know, since this is really happening, yeah, around the country now, mm-hmm, and around the world, mm-hmm, we just need to be clear in Minnesota law that no exceptions below 18.
Mm-hmm. Great. So now we're at the end of the show. Will you like to share a few words of inspiration and making sure that this doesn't happen or continue?
I think for me, the most important thing is for all of us, mm-hmm, as mothers, as grandmothers, mm-hmm, is to think what's best for the next generations of women.
True.
And whatever we can do to protect them, to ensure their physical, psychological, and emotional safety. Mm-hmm. That's really our dream.
Mm-hmm. And we really want girls to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be their future, is if they're educated, if they stay in school, if they go to post-secondary, a college or a community college, mm-hmm, then they're going to be more, their families are going to be more successful and more prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
So early marriage, there's so many reasons against it, health-wise, financial, emotional,
mm-hmm,
that we really want to take care of our girls and have them be successful and be,
mm-hmm,
happy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Senator Pappas and Ellen, participating in this show today. Those of you who are listening to us, we will come back. I'll come back and discuss this in Somali and summarize in Somali. So those who were not following us and learning this through English, I will come back and explain more in detail in Somali.
Chale aa divat da halmane.